Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. It is Tuesday night. It is, you know, it's after 8 o'clock, but it's around 8 o'clock p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. And do you know what that means? Because I know what that means. It means it's time for another episode of the Raw Islam Podcast. And we are here live tonight on Facebook to answer your questions, to interact with you, to educate you, to be with you. And I just want to keep saying you because it's fun and pointing at the screen. I don't know why. I'm just trying to be annoying at this point in the day. I don't know. Let me know in the comments. How am I doing? Am I being annoying yet? Because that is my job, is to be the comic relief in this amazing podcast that we do called Raw Islam that is hosted by the hardest working imam that I know. Ladies and gentlemen, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum, peace and greetings to all our listeners across the world and all those who are watching live on Facebook. I want to welcome you all to another episode of Raw Islam as we've passed over the hump of 50 and now we are moving on to the next 50 podcasts, and we hope and we pray that our interactions with you bears fruits of goodness and productivity and allows us to be instrumental in bringing about goodness in our world. And that is why we call it Raw Islam, because as Muslims, we believe Islam is the backbone for our success as a Muslim. And that's not because our name stands higher than the name of other people, or our faith and its title stands higher than the title of other faiths, rather because we have been given a lifestyle which allows us to be instrumental, which allows us to be productive, which allows us to be problem solvers in our world today. And as we begin tonight, I want to thank all my friends and family members and people across the country and across the world who have sent me their prayers during my illness. I'm doing fine right now, and I just request that your prayers continue to come in for myself and all those who are sick. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them health and grant them goodness. On that we say ameen. Carl, we've had a very busy week. A lot of things have been happening. If you had not listened to our last episode, you can still find it on Venn Network. Last week, we came to you live, but there was a glitch in presenting it to you. But we were coming live from Florida Gulf Coast University with two students, exceptionally great students, Asma, who is the president, current president of MSA, and Nihal, I believe was her name. She was an exchange student from Tunisia. I would love all of our listeners to take out some time and do listen to it. And if you're going to be listening to this on your Google Play or iTunes, do take a moment and listen to episode 50, because it's truly enlightening to hear different perspectives from different people. I was hoping to come to you all tonight from the University of Tampa with a very amazing teacher. Her name is Jennifer, but I had to postpone my engagement with her due to my health. But we promise you that inshallah, next week we'll be coming to you live from University of Tampa, where Jennifer and I will be speaking to you guys about something amazing. I'll just tell you a few words and you could Google it and find out. It's called Parliament of World Religions. Something called Parliament of World Religions. It's happening this year. Where is it happening? And why are we so excited about it? We'll let you know next week, inshallah. But Carl, we've had, as I said, a lot of news this week. We've had the bombings in Syria. We've had so many other things, which again, we're not a news network, nor are we the weekly summary of the news. But I want to take a moment and point out the passing of Barbara Bush, and also a very soothing, warm, and welcoming voice that I think at one time had echoed in every car, if not every home. And that was the voice of Carl Castle, who passed away from NPR, someone who served for 30 years, who used to be the voice reward for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR. Again, you know, Carl, it's just amazing. I was just listening to that segment from NPR today, that it doesn't matter how far ahead we get in our technology, there is something that you get from the radio, which you won't get from any other means of transmission, maybe TV, internet, podcast, or whatever else. The radio is something unique. What's your thoughts about that?
So I'm kind of a torn individual on this, because you are right that terrestrial radio does exist and has existed for years. And I know, as odd as it may sound, I actually spent a lot of time in my master's studying terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. But for me, given the evolution of everything in life, terrestrial radio is kind of going away. And you'll find that a lot of these syndicated radio shows that are on like Westward One Radio and things like that, they're actually ended up and they're converting to podcast format so that you can listen to it on your schedule. And even cars today, I honestly don't know a car manufactured after, let's say, 2010 that doesn't have a satellite radio in it. Because it's just terrestrial radio just isn't what it used to be. However, you got to give props where props are due. And everything we do from this right here to cable access to, you know, satellite radio to podcasts to, I mean, even blogging at some level, it's all in response to terrestrial radio. So we do have to give terrestrial radio its props. But, you know, the evolution of life and evolution of things, that's where we are today. And this is, you know, I hate saying next level, but this is next level for terrestrial radio. And before we go on, just to cover the Facebook comments, Julie says, inshallah, that you and all those who are ill at the present time will find relief. Amin.
Thank you so much, Sister Julie, for that. And Carl, I agree with you. There is this evolution, a very swift pace evolution. And no doubt there's going to be many different mediums through which one can access information and entertain themselves. But I think I have to rephrase myself. The touch that we got from radio, the touch that I got from radio, it's something that, you know, I'll never forget. I remember in England on Saturday nights, there was, you know, this comedy show on radio. And I would periodically listen to that for half an hour. And sometimes here in America, there would be these on actually satellite radio, those olden day mysteries that are going on. And again, they're just, it's so, I don't want to say it's enriching, but it's fulfilling. You know, you could drive with that. I've had a satellite radio in my car, actually both cars, my wife and I have, but I canceled my subscription because I found NPR to be something that I could engage with and interact with whenever I'm anywhere. I know I have to change from 90.1 to 93.3, 92.7, depending on where I am in Florida, but it just has something to it. And, you know, Carl Castle's voice was great, but I do understand what you're saying. And yes, it is the reality of our world today.
Yeah, and I will also say, I mean, I know we're starting this episode off on a high note with the passing of Barbara Bush, but for me, I actually would like to take a moment to recognize the passing of Harry Anderson yesterday.
Yes.
And I know that I was a huge Night Court fan growing up, and I really thought that whether he was on the Johnny Carson show or whatever, the comedy magic that he did, it was clean, it was family friendly, I really enjoyed him. I enjoyed how he, you know, portrayed himself in on TV and in the spotlight. And I know for me that was one that you know, old age is a thing and it happens, so it you know.
Well, Carl, these people that we're talking about are old in age, but there's one word that you touched on that clicks us exactly to the topic of our podcast today, And that's called passion. And passion is such an important thing. The question that we want to pose to our listeners today, as we do share and grieve the loss of passionate people in our world, the one thing we have to accept, and I want my listeners and our listeners tonight to engage with us on this, is that we have abundance in people across the world. We're at 7.5 billion now, but we are on a sharp decline when it comes to passion. Passion is such a thing that in the midst of a million chefs, the ones who have passion, they stand out. I don't know how you recognize them, but they stand out. There's something, there's a vibe, there's a feeling, there is a sense. There's like this sixth sense that pulls in, that you know wakes up within you and says, man, this person has it. And it was that passion that changed the world. Many of them were not eloquent, like Mr. Bean. You know, he's still alive. He's not well-versed in communication. He's not well-versed as an engineer. He's an engineer. Remember that. He's an educated individual. But he didn't fit into anywhere in society wherever he went. But he found his calling, and that was through his passion to become a comedian. And forget Britain. Forget, you know, England. Forget Great Britain. The world. The world knows Mr. Bean. So today what I'm analyzing, what I'm seeing around, and I like to share my thoughts based on what I see. And again, all of us have different viewpoints based on our vantage points. My viewpoint is telling me that I see Muslims right now segmenting and fractioning into pockets. Majority of these pockets are based on the hype of the moment. Now, I won't say that we are just trend followers, but we are extremely passionate about making an impression in something which is trending. For example, activism, you'll see a pocket of Muslims in activism. Advocacy, a pocket of Muslims in advocacy. Environmental rights, human rights, a pocket of Muslims. Disaster relief, charitable work, a pocket of Muslims. Then you have the, as we talked about many times, the far, far right conservatives and the far, far left liberals. And then you have all those in between that consider themselves to be the middle path. And my question tonight is, Carl, and I think you put the title, Can a Muslim Be an All-Rounder? Is that, are Muslims today feeling that our passion and our abilities should be confined to only one area? If we feel by confining ourselves to one area, like do it once and do it right, or do it properly, like do one thing and do it right type of thing. If that's our mentality, then I feel that's problematic. And the reason I feel that's problematic is because when you look at what the non-Muslims wrote about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they wrote he was a governor, he was a military officer, he was a family man, he was a leader, he was a compassionate listener. Like he was everything in one. And the thing that I'm worried about as I express my concerns is that I'm finding that our Muslims, from the broken pieces that we have right now, like we're a piece of, I wish it has a, so basically we are like beads. I'm just going to pull out one of these beads here. So we are basically like a musabbaha that has many beads, and this is already broken, right? This is broken, and all the beads are in your hand. But now what you're seeing is that even these beads are fractioning apart, and we're all going into our own areas and pockets. And that's not what Islam's supposed to be about. We're supposed to be passionate about everything. We have to be equipped with the tools for everything. So a person's hiking up Mount Everest, I don't know why that keeps on coming up as an example. Maybe that's one of my things on my bucket list. I'm not going to tell you. But you have everything and anything except for the kitchen sink in your backpack. Will you need it? Possibly. Will you need all of it? Possibly not. But having it means you're ready to take on a situation if the situation arises. I feel that if a person is hardcore in activism, they're gonna be an amateur when it comes to disaster relief. If a person is so focused on education and theology and knowledge of the books, I feel they're gonna lack an ability to understand reality of the world. So, Carl, I want to ask you. I've blabbered on for quite a bit now. I'm trying to lay this foundation for the next 10 minutes. Do I make sense? This is how I see it. How do you see it?
So I'm actually going to answer your question by going to the comments, because I think we have, let me actually go in order, but I think we have an answer to your question from in our comments down here. The first comment we have is from Julie, and this was from earlier in the show. She says, in everything there is evolution. We must accept that reality. We must accept that reality and use change to enrich our present and inform our future. Spot on, Julie. 100%. Couldn't agree more with you. Ariana said that, yes, so many people are lacking passion, and it's a very sad situation. But in answer to your question, she goes on to say that, why would Allah give us such powerful tools, such as our own brains, only to use it on a single subject?
You know, if Allah's given us the brain, and the brain is one of many parts of our body, right? We articulate our thoughts through our tongues, but our thoughts that we articulate through our tongues and our mouth are something that we believe in our heart. So there's a thousand things up here, but what the heart is driving is what the tongue is going to speak about, and it's going to utter, basically. And so that's it. You know, why have we, and I want us to think about this, because sometimes, as Carl says in the beginning, thought-provoking episode, we want people to think. I'm not here as Mr. Doctor Know-It-All, nor is Carl. And if Carl says so, I'm just going to get it.
You speak for yourself. I bill myself as Dr. Know-It-All.
Okay, we got Google Plus One right here, Dr. Carl Know-It-All, with three colors on his Ben Network t-shirt. But I'm not a Mr. Know-It-All. But what I think life is about is where one person can say, you know what, I think something's wrong, and then everyone kind of pitches in. Some may agree, many may disagree, but at least we had a thought-provoking discussion, which allows us to think about things differently. So, Carl, I want to give our listeners a story as their comments come in. There's a story I always give to the children when I'm in Islamic schools and stuff, and that is the story of the rock and the tree. So there was this rock, right? It's stuck in the ground, this big stone is stuck in the ground, and it's been sitting there for ages. And then next to it, a man comes one day, he plants a seed, next thing you know, this thing sprouts. Long story short, it becomes a tree, it bears fruits, it gives shade, people love it, people have picnics under it. The whole nine yards happen. All the while, this rock is sitting in the ground. You know, dogs come and pee on it, and people just sit on it. Like, no one cares about it. But the tree is something that everyone, like, you know, let's get some shade, let's have a picnic, so on and so forth. One day, that same man who planted the tree comes with another man and says, tomorrow you're going to chop this tree down. And so at night, that rock spoke to the tree. And the rock asked the tree, hey, I want to ask you a question. He said, what is it? He said, I've been here before you were, right? And I've seen you from the get-go. I've seen you from the day you sprouted. And I've seen you grow and give so much benefit. People sat under your shade. They carved their name into you. They had picnics. They picked your fruits. And like, it was just such a great benefit. Like, he enumerated all the goods of the tree. All the while, I am just stuck here, sitting here, and no one looks at me. No one cares about me. When it's hot outside, no one wants to sit on me because it's so hot. Why are they taking you out and not me? Right? And so the tree said to him with a great sigh that you enumerated all the goods about me. Like, you pointed out all the good things and good qualities about me, but there's one flaw, and that flaw overshadows all my goods. And the rock asked, what is that? He said, the fact that I'm not stable like you. I go where the wind goes. And so if the wind's blowing this way, I'm going that way. If the wind's blowing that way, I'm going that way. So what happens is I'm constantly going this way and I'm hitting the house of the owner. He gets annoyed by it. He'll cut my branch off, right? And if I'm growing the wrong way, I'm going to hit a power line and they're going to chop that branch off. And if I just grow out to the street and I become a nuisance, they'll chop me off. So everywhere I grow, if I don't do it right, I become a problem. Where you are grounded and rooted, that's why no one messes with you. So the point of the story is, I'm not saying that we're just going with the wind wherever people are taking us, but a Muslim is such that they're rooted solid enough that their wings on the ground can spread out and cover these issues. Because What issue out there today is a calling for humanity that wasn't initiated by Islam? I ask you that question. When people say Islam doesn't talk about human rights, well, Allah said in the Quran, He does not allow and He does not accept transgression for the humans. Allah does not, lil-ibad, for all of mankind and humankind, Allah does not accept transgression. So who made that call for human rights and equality? Allah did. When people say Quran doesn't talk about environmental rights, well, Allah says, وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah does not accept and want transgression for the entire worlds, the worlds, the universe, the space, the galaxies, the black holes, the Milky Ways. Allah does not want transgression on it, i.e. you can't abuse it. So these are callings, these are two of many callings that come through Islam. But if we're not rooted and we're jumping into one field, tomorrow that field's going to become dry. It's going to be very hard to get up and go to the next field and acquaint yourself with what's happening. And if you want to become like Frogger, remember Frogger, Carl?
Absolutely. You gotta like get across the highway, and you have to avoid the cars, and then you gotta do the alligators and then the logs. And obviously I spent time as an arcade as a child. Do you want me to interrupt you with a Facebook comment?
Go ahead.
All right. We have another comment from Sister Layla. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining us tonight. And she's going to test my reading skills. And since I have my laptop, I'll bring it over closer. She says, Assalamu alaikum. She's glad to see that you are feeling better. And she said that you brought up a good point about being an all rounder. I'm saying all arounder. So is it because I don't play cricket? Is that what it is?
It's all rounder. Yes.
All rounder. Okay. Can Muslims be passionate about something and be Muslim? Absolutely. As long as we don't lose our goal as being Muslims, we must be moderate in everything we do as Muslims. But being passionate to me means going that extra mile as a human being. And I would say that you are absolutely right, Layla. And it is about going that extra mile, because that's actually what, I mean,
passion is.
Oh, I was going to say it's what passion is, but it's also what Islam tells us to do, is to go that extra mile for our neighbors, and to go that extra mile for those in need, and to go that extra mile for those around us. The two hadith that come to mind, and I know I'm going to screw them up, and when I turn it back to you, you can say it properly, is no one really believes while their neighbor is in need. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was a real similar one about food. Like, how can you eat your fill while your neighbor has none, or something like that?
Well, basically, I think the first one we could try to say, it's like you're not a believer until... you love for your brother what you love for yourself. That's going the extra mile. The other one would be, you're not a believer if you go to sleep full and your neighbor is hungry.
That's what it was.
Alhamdulillah. So again, going the extra mile. But Layla, I love the point you brought up, because that's what I wanted to cap off on this segment tonight, was how do we find that passion? There's two questions. How do we locate that passion? That passion can only be located if you work on yourself. And this is not you, this is all of us, including myself. If we don't explore the gems that God and Allah has put within us, our usage in society is haphazard. I don't want to say it's baseless or useless, it's haphazard. It's like a rich child who's born with a silver spoon, and the father has from the 50s Ferraris to the latest supercars. For them to jump into any of those and drive like a maniac and scratch it and hurt it or break it, there's no value. There's no value because they don't realize what lies behind the story of having a 55 Ferrari, for example, right? It's a story, and that story is us. So if we don't understand who we are, we're bumping ourselves, bruising ourselves, destroying ourselves, but we haven't explored the gems within us. So the first thing is, in order for the passion to be revived within all of us, we have to explore ourselves and work on ourselves. It's called introspection. It's called self-rectification. It's called rejuvenation. It's called replenishment. And there's a month coming up in a few days, Carl. Well, not a few days, 29 days. It's called what? Starts with an R?
Ramadan!
Ramadan! We've got all the fireworks going on there. So that Ramadan is supposed to be, you know what? Drop and just seclude yourself. Forget the parties, seclude yourself. Pray, worship, seclude yourself. So that's an opportunity to do that. And number two, Layla, the point that you brought up, and I thank you for your participation, and thank you and everyone else for the prayers. I'm humbled and thankful to all of you for that. The second point is moderation. The word that she used was moderation. That was the word I wanted to end with saying. What is moderation? How can we define moderation? Because there's a person who's not far-right conservative Muslim. They're just maybe two steps before that. But they believe moderation, they are practicing moderation because they're not all the way there, but they're somewhat towards the other side. So they think that they're in the middle ground. And there are some who are far left, but they're all out. They just kind of stay right on the brink or on the, what you call it, the pier. They don't jump off. So they're like, you know what? We're in the middle ground. Who defines middle ground? So the answer that I feel, and our listeners are welcome to kind of pitch in on this, is that the further we look at the world from afar, if you had, like, you know, in geography, Carl, you had those dense maps where you are so far out and you had to describe what is what. I remember that in UK when I was taking my GCSEs, and I was like, mind boggled, like, what is this? Because it's so far out, how could you identify? Just like something is so far out, you can't even see it. It's a speck. In a similar fashion, if something is this close to us and we just pull it back like this, we're like, okay, that's what it is. No, if you give yourself the good distance, you'll be able to understand that was a hand. There's four fingers, there's a thumb, and there's these lines and so on and so forth. But we have not gone back enough as an ummah to see the balance. And the balance is to see the whole picture. So if you're going to take a picture if you're going to take a picture of the phone, but you only get a part of it, that's not the phone. You have to give yourself enough of a view that you can see the whole thing, and not so much that it becomes lost in translation of the bigger picture. So I feel that moderation is something the ummah is still struggling to find. We have those who are stuck on their ways of the right and those who are stuck on their ways of the left. And if the ummah continues, this is another way of pointing out our fractioning, and that we will never be able to find common ground when the answer is simple. Allah made you ummatan wasata. He's made you a medium ummah, a middle ground ummah, a balanced ummah. Why have we not found our balance? Because we haven't found our passion. The second we explore our inner selves and we firm ourselves like the rock in the ground, we'll be able to find the middle ground in our societies, and we'll be able to live an Islam that is not objectable by the left nor the right.
So as it gets passed back to me, I was actually thinking while you were telling that, it's my turn to close us out with a story tonight. Mm-hmm. When I was a young teen, I'm getting a really bad echo from you. Echo.
Okay, should I silence it?
Or? Just turn it down a little bit. So when I was growing up as a teen, my dad would always tell me, you know what your problem is you can't see the forest for the trees. And I remember being a young kid and thinking, well, how can that be? Because a forest is made up of trees. How can I not see the forest for the trees? Because if you're seeing the trees, you're seeing the forest. And I spent just years in my early teenagehood trying to figure all of this out and trying to put it together. How can I not see the forest for the trees? And then finally, it wasn't until I was an older individual that I figured it out. And it was to see the forest for the trees. And that is exactly what Imam Azhar is telling us to do this evening with ourselves.
Well, Hamza, that's amazing. That's like, you know, I can't speak beyond that, but alhamdulillah, I think we conclude another thought-provoking episode where hopefully this discussion doesn't stop here, but as this discussion continues to travel beyond time and space, through cyberspace and internet and podcasting and shares and likes, is that we'll be able to ask people to ask themselves to reconsider their position where they're currently on. And that's what a Muslim is: always analyzing, always evaluating, always aligning themselves with what is good. And if you can do that with the current time in a contemporary fashion, bringing forth solutions in a proactive manner, then you are an all-rounder.
Alhamdulillah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the administrative portion of the show. As you know, all of these episodes and all of these shows and other shows just like this can be found over at vennetwork.org. Head over there. We have comments, we have links, we have subscription buttons. And also, if you're over there and you're watching this here tonight and you're looking at my Venn Network t-shirt and you're like, wow, that's really cool, I'd like to show people that I listen to the Venn Network, you can go to Amazon straight from vennetwork.org and get your own Venn Network t-shirt. And I am very happy to say that it took a little time and it was a clerical error on my part, so I do apologize. But for our hijabi sisters, we now are offering long sleeve versions of this t-shirt. So if you would like a long sleeve version, please let me know, because I have a separate link I need to give you. So just post somewhere and I'll give you the link for a long sleeve version of what I'm wearing. You can also support us on Patreon to help spread the word of what we're doing and get more listeners. And it's because of listeners like you that we are an award-nominated show. And we're so thankful for all of you guys, for everything you've done. And as for this evening, I'd like to thank Ariana, Layla, Julie for your comments. I'd like to thank you all for listening and tuning in this evening. I'd like to thank everybody that's going to tune in and listen after we're done. And until, oh, of course, you know what? I'm totally sorry. I'd like to thank Imam Azhar for taking the time out to speak with us this evening, to educate us and to tell us, impart his knowledge on it. I know when I was in school, one of the things we learned was knowledge retention. We actually spent a semester studying that. And it's moments like this, especially since it's going live to the internet. This is knowledge retention.
That's amazing.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
To that terror attack overseas,
total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.